Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Appreciate you joining me here for a very full Friday show. We got to talk about the Kadarius Toney trade to the Chiefs, the big Jamar Chase news, and then all the rest of the injuries that could impact your lineup in Week 8. But let's start with Kansas City. Our guy, the Score's Jordan Schultz, he broke the news yesterday that the Chiefs were trading a third and a sixth round pick in 2023 for the Giants' former first round pick, Kadarius Toney. And we talked about Toney as a potential breakout receiver in the offseason. He had the draft capital behind him. And even though he was from the previous regime in New York, you thought there was a good chance that he could still become the number one receiver in that offense. And last year, despite dealing with all the injuries that he had most of the season, when he was on the field, he really stood out. And I don't mean he just caught a few passes and he made a few plays. He looked like he was moving at a different speed than the other players. Like he had some extra gear and this change of pace ability that most NFL athletes don't even have. And because of that, it helped him earn targets at an elite rate during that time. And even though it was a really small sample size, he had a two-game stretch last season. And remember, he only played 50% of the snaps in seven contests. He only suited up for nine games total due to all the nagging injuries. But he had a two-game stretch where he caught 16 balls for 267 yards, like high-end wide receiver production from him. So we know he can perform in the pros. And yet this year, it was just more of the same nonsense. He didn't show up to OTAs, even though he had a new coaching staff, and you would think that he'd want to make a good impression on them. And then the injuries, they just continued, and they kept him off the field again. And he only suited up for two games so far this season, didn't really play much either time. So the Giants were ready to move on, and now he goes to a Kansas City team where you almost have the perfect environment for him to succeed. And that's no knock on Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and what they're building. They have a great culture now in New York, and obviously they're winning, so we're not knocking them, but it is clear that Toney wasn't happy there, and I don't think they were really happy with him. Now with the Chiefs, you have Andy Reid and his staff who have proven that they can get the most out of players. They also have the luxury of just taking their time with Toney. They have a bye week right now, but they could also wait to get him in the lineup if they want to, right? And then once he's out there, you have faith in that staff that they're going to find a way to use him. They're going to find a way to play to his strengths. And I think the Giants guys would have done the same. I really like Brian Daboll. He was with my Bills at one point, so you know I'm a big fan. But looking at what Andy Reid and his staff can do with Toney, this is very exciting, especially that they're going out and acquiring him. So it shows that they want him in that offense and they want to see what they can get out of him. And he's joining a receiving core with a pretty wide open depth chart. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's fit in pretty well. He's really come on as of late, but he's also on a one-year contract, so no guarantees he's going to even be back past this season. And then after that, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Mecole Hardman, they've been really inconsistent producers. They're going to have big games here and there, but they aren't reliable playmakers week in and week out. And then rookie Sky Moore, he's failed to carve out a role so far. And maybe more important than anything here, maybe I'm burying the lead, Toney gets a massive upgrade at quarterback. He goes from Daniel Jones to Patrick Mahomes. So the situation is just ideal for a young receiver. The questions now for Toney are, will he buy in? Will he be completely committed to be the best player that he can be as a pro in Kansas City? And can he overcome all these durability concerns that have plagued him for the last season and a half here and really kept him off the field? Can he overcome that and stay on the field and be a regular part of this Chiefs offense? Because if he does, this guy has elite upside in real life and in fantasy. But we are still a long way from that happening. So I still rushed out. I picked him up in as many leagues as I could. And shout out to Josh Wegman at the Score. That was the last league that I tried to get Toney in. Maybe I should have gone first on that one because I clicked his name on the waiver wire. He was still available. And then right as I clicked the player to drop for him, it said he was already rostered by somebody else in the league. So I missed out on him by seconds in that one. But I got him in the others where he was available because that's the kind of bet that I want to make with my bench. I know that he has a significant ceiling, and that's what I want. I would much rather use a roster spot like that on an upside player like Toney rather than somebody who's a high floor, low ceiling guy, but who can help get me through the bye weeks. No, I want a player like Toney that if he hits, he can make a huge difference the rest of the way. So it's a big swing, but it's one with very little risk, in my opinion. both for fantasy managers and for the Chiefs here. So Tony is going to slot in as a wide receiver four flex option in the rest of season rankings that I have out, but he's one with just so much upside. There is a ton of possibilities for how this could go. I'm not trying to pretend like it couldn't go south either. It could completely fall apart like it did in New York for him, but he could hit the ground running after the bye. And I know that seems so improbable because he's been out with this hamstring injury, but he has this tweet that he had out there and he's deleted it since, but it kind of made it seem, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it made it seem like maybe he's a little healthier than people realize. We'll put it that way. And he quickly got rid of that one. He put it out and then he kind of got called on it and then he quickly deleted it. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's closer to 100% than people think after the way things kind of ended in New York and how much time he missed this season. Or, I mean, it could take a while for him to ramp up and Casey could look to him more as a late season or a playoff weapon. They could take their time and let him get comfortable in the offense because this is a winning team. They don't really need him to get out there right away and change their season. They can play it smart and take all the time in the world with him. Or this could even be more of a 2023 move or beyond, right? Because he's still on his rookie deal. So maybe they grab him now and they feel like next year he'll work in and become their number one wideout. So I'm buying Tony immediately. I am waiting to see what happens with him. And once the Chiefs come back from their bye next week and they get back to practice, we should learn a little bit more in terms of where he's at health-wise and how fast they anticipate having him out there. But I'm not moving Juju from where he's at fantasy-wise. He's a low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three in my rest of season rankings. MVS, Mecole Hardman, they get the bump down a bit because it's likely going to be their snaps that Tony's going to eat into, but they were already sort of risky plays or dart throw flex plays. And then Sky Moore, his 2022 value, it takes a massive hit here. I mean, he still has a chance to emerge in the future, but he wasn't rising up the depth chart before this move. Now he's got another guy to compete with there. So Moore is just a dynasty hold. And it's good news for Mahomes, but he can't move up that much further. He's already an elite fantasy quarterback and he's not passing Josh Allen yet. So Mahomes still right up there, still one of the best quarterbacks to have in fantasy, but not going to pass my guy Josh Allen based on getting Kadarius Toney. And then for the Giants, nothing really changes. You can say that the receivers get an uptick because now they don't have to deal with the threat of Tony coming back and stealing targets there anymore. But I really wasn't factoring Tony in much to their value just because I wasn't sure if he was going to come back at any point in that offense. So there's also some rumors here that the Giants could go out and maybe trade for another receiver. I know Jerry Jeudy's been one. He's been a name that's thrown out there. That makes a ton of sense for a 6-1 team that you'd want to go out there and get a player, add to your offense, give yourself a better shot to contend. So I would keep an eye on that for sure. Now, Tony wasn't the only receiver that was making headlines on Thursday. We started seeing some chatter in the morning about Ja'Marr Chase and, you know, sort of on some sites that you're not used to really breaking news. We saw some things out there that maybe he has a serious injury, more serious than people believed, and he could be potentially out for the season. And it wasn't coming from a reliable or well-known source, so I tend to just stash that away in the back of my mind. I don't really overreact to that kind of stuff. Like, they're unsubstantiated reports. But then sure enough, later in the day, we got word from Adam Schefter that Chase could be out 4 to 6 weeks with a hip issue. And it's always worrisome when a player's looking for a second opinion on their injury because tends to mean that they weren't very happy with the first one. But the Athletic's Paul Dehner, he called it a hip flexor strain and that Chase isn't expected to need surgery. So they're going to rest him. They're going to hope he heals up. But this is just another devastating injury. Another young superstar going down for a long stretch. And we're wishing Chase the best. Obviously, he's going to try to get healthy here. He's going to try to get back on the field for the final month, for the playoffs, hopefully. But in the meantime, we got to look at it from a fantasy perspective. T. Higgins, he moves up into the top 6 or 7 fantasy wideouts the rest of the way. He's fantastic. And now with Chase not there, he is going to get a ton more volume. Tyler Boyd, he goes from being a wide receiver flex to a locked in wide receiver 2 for fantasy. And he's coming off 8 catches, 155 yards, and a touchdown last week. So that just gives you an idea of what kind of ceiling he has in this offense. And then in deep leagues, I mean, you could take shots on Mike Thomas or even further down Trent Taylor. But the other guy who's really going to benefit, to be honest, is tight end Hayden Hurst. He's already the tight end 10 in fantasy scoring on the year. But if you look closer, some of his biggest games came when one of the top three receivers was out. And it's really been T. Higgins this year. I mean, there's been two contests where T. Higgins didn't play the majority of the snaps. And in those games, Hurst put up a 5-for-46 performance in week one, and then 6-for-53 and a touchdown in week five. So he is firmly in the tight end one conversation. I would be really excited to play Higgins. I'd be excited to play Boyd, and I'd be excited to play Hurst this week. For Joe Burrow, he has been off the charts lately. This hurts him for sure. It'll drop him a spot or two in the rest of season rankings, but he also has a pretty good string of opponents during this time where Chase is supposed to miss. Really, between now and their Week 17 game against the Bills, since he only plays middle of the pack or really easy defenses against the pass the rest of the way, their hardest matchup that they have over that stretch is against the Panthers in Week 9, and that one's not even that bad. Carolina gives up the 12th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, but it's not like they're a shutdown defense or anything. So Burrow, he could be fine. I mean, as long as the Bengals don't lose anybody else, Burrow should be pretty good as a mid-range QB1 for fantasy. And as long as Chase is back for the final month, I think Burrow's going to be a strong play in the fantasy playoffs. But part of him not moving down much is just the state of the quarterback position for fantasy. The top guys are great. Once you get to that middle range of QB1s, it drops off pretty fast. I mean, even Justin Herbert, he lost Mike Williams for the next month or so. And then after that, you're looking at Tom Brady and Dak Prescott and Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Daniel Jones. No one's really blowing you away in that group. So Burrow, still a pretty desirable fantasy starter, even with Chase out. Okay, let's move on. Let's go over the rest of the injuries for week 8. We will start with quarterbacks. Russell Wilson missed last week with the hamstring issue. He'll start on Sunday morning in London against the Jaguars. Just don't forget, Russ wasn't playing very well before the injury, so I wouldn't be rushing to get him back in my lineup. Ryan Tannehill, he hurt his ankle last week, missed practice Wednesday, got in a limited practice on Thursday. They don't seem totally sure about whether he's going to be able to play. I know Mike Vrabel said they're going to wait until the absolute last minute to make that decision. I know reporters were saying that on Thursday, Tannehill, even though he's listed as limited, he really didn't do much and that he didn't take many of the reps in that practice, that it was mostly rookie Malik Willis that handled those. So I'm tentatively projecting Tannehill to play in my rankings, but I'm pretty ready to make a switch there. It seems like it might be trending now towards him not playing in this game. Even if Tannehill was out there, he would just be a low-end QB2 or super flex option. If he can't go, then Willis moves into a similar spot. And for Willis, he hasn't really looked like he's ready to play in the pros yet. He's had some brief snaps so far. Hasn't been great, but the rushing ability that he brings, that's what's so enticing for fantasy. So that alone would make him a deep league option there. Generally, I'm just staying away from that Titans passing attack, though. If Willis is out there, it's going to pretty much tank all the passing options that they have there for fantasy. Mac Jones, he played. He got pulled on Monday night. We know that. But he should be healthier for this week's game against the Jets. So he's going to start. And not that you were going to play him, but I would just be careful here because the Jets defense, they are legit. They are the 10th toughest matchup for fantasy QBs this season. They have been shutting down passers completely over the last month, so not a great position for Jones to be in. And then the only other QB that I'll mention is Jameis Winston, and you probably already know this one, but he apparently isn't 100% healthy yet, so Andy Dalton is going to continue to be the starter. And he gets the Raiders this week, and I really like Dalton as a streamer, to be honest. I mean, Vegas is giving up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year, and now you have Dalton going there. He's got Chris Olave. I know all the weapons aren't back yet, but Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara, some guys like Tre'Quan Smith, the tight ends there, could be a sneaky good day for Dalton. On to the running backs. Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to be out with the knee injury. Mike McCarthy did say that he was doing better on Friday than they expected, but it was still an uphill battle for him to play. So Tony Pollard, all systems go, as a fantasy RB1. Cowboys are big favorites over the Bears too, so really no reason for them to push Zeke out there, and really lots of positive game script coming for Pollard in that game. Really like him this week for fantasy. Josh Jacobs, he's been limited with a foot injury for the first two practices this week. Not something that I expect to keep him out for Sunday. I wouldn't worry about that. He's going up against the Saints, but it's another reminder, go out, pick up Zamir White. He's available in like 98% of leagues. And with this massive workload that Josh Jacobs has been getting, everyone is just falling all over themselves to talk about how great it is. And it is. I love Josh Jacobs. I've talked him up the last few seasons. I wasn't really on him this year. I don't think many people were because we thought it was going to be a committee. It hasn't turned out that way. Jacobs is the guy. He is a clear top 10, maybe even a top 5 running back rest of season at this point. But with all these touches that he's getting, you got to be worried that maybe at some point he breaks down. We see so many running backs get hurt. And if that were to happen, just one Jacobs injury, that could open the door for the rookie to get a spot start. So you look at how fast things could change here. We've seen it happen recently with the Breece Hall injury on the Jets. So White, he should be rostered everywhere. He was in the start, sit, stash, quit column last week. I had him in the stash section. I almost put him in again this week when I saw that he was still available in so many leagues. So keep him in mind if you got an extra bench spot. James Conner, Darrell Williams, they were back to limited practices Wednesday and Thursday. Conner's been out with a rib issue, Williams with the knee. But then the early reports from Cardinals practice today on Friday, they said that Conner wasn't out there. So now I'm worried that he's not going to be available again. And I'm still not sure about Williams either, but the fact that Eno Benjamin has played so well, that's got to help the situation in terms of the Cardinals making that decision, right? So Eno is going to be a solid RB2 play again if those guys are sidelined. Darrell Henderson, he missed practice Wednesday. He was limited on Thursday. He's just dealing with an illness. There's a bunch of players around the league. We'll talk about a few more here that have been sick early in the week. So normally players, once they get a couple days after that illness, normally they end up playing. So it's just worth noting, though, since Cam Akers, he's being held out until he's traded or released. Kyren Williams isn't back yet. So if Henderson were to miss or be limited, then veteran Malcolm Brown might get the start, or he might step up and get more touches than expected there. So I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think Henderson's going to be out there, and he's just an RB3 flex play against the 49ers. Chuba Hubbard, he got the start last week for the Panthers. He hurt his ankle in that game. He hasn't practiced this week. And guess what? Today he got ruled out. So Deonta Foreman, he's set for a big workload. He's entering the low-end RB2 conversation really in this game with Hubbard sidelined. And think about it. I mean, Foreman last week went over 100 yards in that game. He did this last season too, and I've talked about it, right? When Derrick Henry went down and they brought Foreman in, Foreman did a pretty good Derrick Henry impression in those games. So Foreman, a really nice start with Hubbard out. And Raheem Blackshear, he's in the mix as a deep flex option, but only in really desperate situations. DeAndre Swift, he's practicing in full. Sure seems like he's finally going to get back in the lineup for this game. And the same goes for his teammate, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is limited at the moment. He's still working his way through concussion protocol, but he did play the last two games. He was hobbled in the one before the bye, and then last week he got pulled out because the spotter thought that he was hurt. I don't think it's been confirmed that he had concussion. I'm pretty sure everything I read was that he wasn't actually concussed. He just got placed into the concussion protocol. Either way, Dan Campbell said they're both trending towards playing, so that's going to be great to see. The Lions are going to have their two best playmakers back in that game. They are must-starts whenever they're healthy. We're not even going to discuss that, so don't ask me any start-sit questions about those guys. And then Josh Reynolds, their teammate as well, he got back to limited practice on Thursday. He's been dealing with a knee issue, so possible he could be back for the Lions too. Reynolds, more of a wide receiver three flex option for fantasy when everybody's healthy there, which seems like they're going to be. We'll keep going with receivers here. Davante Adams, another illness situation. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, he was reporting that it's a, quote, bad flu. However, he does say that Adams is still expected to play this week, and Adams isn't the only one. A bunch of Raiders players are dealing with it, apparently, and Josh McDaniels said that most of them are on the recovery side now, that they're kind of past the worst of it, so you expect that those guys will play this week. So we'll pencil him into our lineups, because if he plays, another guy that you're obviously starting him, but we'll monitor this over the next couple days just to make sure. Hunter Renfrow, Mac Hollins, the other Raiders receivers, they would be intriguing wide receiver three flex options if Adams were out. They're also both on the injury report, though. It's a heel for Hollins, it's a hip for Renfrow. So lots going on with the Raiders, including some news on Darren Waller, who we'll get to him in a second when we talk about tight ends. DK Metcalf, he isn't going to play this week. I know the news was positive that it wasn't some serious injury, but I'm not sure why the Seahawks are acting like there was a chance that he might suit up. He's going to be out. Tyler Lockett, he'll move up into the top 15 fantasy receivers. Marquise Goodwin, he becomes a wide receiver three flex option. He had a great game last week. And then D. Eskridge, really just a stash, could be a super deep flex option if you're really desperate, but a guy that you just want to throw on your bench and you see how this all works out. And we find out how long Metcalf could actually miss, because it might be this week, could be longer. He could miss a few games. I'd also look to the tight ends here. Noah Fant, Will Disley, their projections are going to get a bump too. I imagine they'll get a few more targets. They're still just tight end two streamer types though, and hard to really trust them in your fantasy lineup, but I could see one of them having a good game here. Now, here's an interesting one that we got to talk about. Deebo Samuel, I don't think this is getting enough headlines. maybe today it will if he misses practice again, but he's dealing with a hamstring injury. He hasn't practiced yet this week. Wednesday, Thursday, he sat out. Kyle Shanahan called him day-to-day, sort of downplayed it. John Lynch said that they're not going to rule him out on Friday and that they're going to wait as long as possible on this one. But fantasy managers, they're going to need to hear some good news at some point if we plan to have him active this week. You also have Juwan Jennings in that offense, another receiver that's dealing with a hamstring issue. So 49ers might have to rely on George Kittle a lot more than they have. He is a really strong tight end one play. And when you start to have these injuries around him, that can vault him back up into the elite mix at tight end. He is my second ranked tight end overall this week. Brandon Ayuk, he is an overqualified number two receiver normally. He could have a really big game here as the number one wideout if Deebo Samuel is sidelined. And then if you look a little deeper, Ray-Ray McCloud is the next man up in that receiving core. He had a really surprising 4 for 65 and a touchdown last week. Might be another sneaky player to start in this one, but we also might see San Francisco lean on their new star. They got Christian McCaffrey for a reason. He had a full week of practice finally. We know he can do a lot of things that Deebo Samuel does in this offense, so CMC is back to top five fantasy status after being limited just due to the timing of the trade last week when it happened. The Packers, they are rumored to be in the trade market as well here. They're not going to get somebody as good as CMC, but they're rumored to be looking for a receiver. And that was before Alan Lazard hurt his shoulder. Now we have Lazard likely missing this week. And Aaron Rodgers, he wasn't shy about his feelings when it came to players not stepping up. Seemed like a lot of that might be directed towards Romeo Doubs and some of the other guys in the offense. So if Lazard is out, which is likely, then it'll be Doubs, it'll be Sammy Watkins, and maybe Christian Watson, who's been practicing and he's hoping to come back from his hamstring issue. I don't really love any of them against that Bills defense this week, though. You have tight end Robert Tonyan. He'll need to get it done on volume because Buffalo is just so menacing on that side of the ball, but the Bills are at home. They're coming off a bye. It is just a nightmare scenario for Green Bay. Aaron Jones is the only Packer that I'd want to play this week, and even he's more of a mid to low end RB2 for this game. Could be a really rough one on Sunday night for Rodgers and company. Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, they're still not practicing. I don't expect them to play this week, so the Saints pass catching core, like we said when we were talking about Andy Dalton, it remains the same. Chris Olave, a quality start. Traquan Smith, Marcus Callaway, they're risky flex options, but I'm at least a little bit intrigued by those guys because of the matchup with the Raiders. And I would also look to the tight end spot again there. Juwan Johnson, TD upside as a streamer play. Again, last week he really came through with two scores. We also have Corey Davis for the Jets. He's out this week with a knee injury, but Elijah Moore's back in the lineup. So regardless, I mean, the Patriots, they're going to cause a ton of problems for Zach Wilson. I am not hopeful that Garrett Wilson or Moore, that they're going to do much here, but it's just not a great matchup for that Jets passing attack. We can leave it at that. Nico Collins, he's dealing with a groin issue, and there was a really strange quote from his head coach, Lovie Smith, saying that Collins isn't out for the season, but they'll have to wait and see how long he misses. I'm paraphrasing that last part, but it was something along those lines. It made me believe that Collins isn't likely to be back very soon. So Brandon Cooks gets a bump, and I'm not really chasing anybody else in that pass catching core. Chris Moore, Philip Dorsett, those are really long shots to deliver for you. Jahan Dotson, he's out again with the hamstring aggravation that happened before week 7. So Commanders receiving core, it's going to remain the same as it's been recently. Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, that's it. You're not really going any deeper than that, and at least not with any confidence. You're not going to play any of those other guys. Van Jefferson, he's been back to limited practices this week. He is going to be activated off IR and play. He should slot immediately back in as the number three receiver for the Rams, but Ben Skoranek, he's been used in a lot of different ways in that offense, even out of the backfield. So Jefferson, he might not step right back into full-time snaps, but that's one we're going to have to wait and see on. You aren't playing Jefferson this week either way. You're just going to stash him and see how it works out. And then at tight end, David Njoku, he's out 2 to 5 weeks with the ankle sprain, but he was being really coy this week when he was asked about it. He said, oh, we'll see. Like, we'll see if he's going to play. I don't think we're going to see. I think he's going to be out. He was spotted in a walking boot during the week. So even though he does have an extra day to heal up because the Browns play the Bengals on Monday, that's the Halloween night game between two orange NFL teams, just a bunch of people out there giving props to the NFL schedule makers for that one. So hat tip to them. But with Njoku likely out, Harrison Bryant, he's a sneaky streaming option. The Browns have been using the tight end a lot. Bryant is no slouch. Bryant can step up here. So I really like Harrison Bryant as a streamer play. Now, I mentioned Darren Waller earlier. he's been back to limited practices after missing the Raiders' first game after the bye with that hamstring issue. Whether the team feels good enough that they can get him back out there this week, or whether they want to be cautious and make sure he's 100% before he returns to the field, we just don't know yet. So we'll have to watch this one for updates. If he's out, Foster Moreau, he's in play as a deep streamer. If he plays, then Waller right into the tight end one mix, and you have to put him in your lineup if he's out there. He's that kind of player. Dalton Schultz, he seemed to aggravate that PCL injury last week, but he played through it, and he finished with 5 for 49. So he's been limited in practice this week. Seems like he's going to continue to gut it out, and with Dak Prescott back now, Schultz is right in that tight end one mix again for fantasy. And then the last one, Logan Thomas, he's been out since week 4 with the calf issue. He's back to limited practices this week, so he'll have a shot to play. If he does, like I said, I would only go after the top two receivers in Washington. If Logan Thomas plays, he would be a tight end two streaming option, though I'd kind of prefer to wait a week and just make sure that he's fully healthy before I relied on him for fantasy. But that is all for today's show. Go and check out all my content, the rankings, trade value charts, start, sit, stash, quit, all that stuff. It's available for free over at The Score. And I'll be back on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. I'll be answering your questions over on The Score's main Twitter account. So I hope you'll join me for that. But until then, big thanks for all the ratings and the reviews, all the different podcast platforms you're putting those on. Thank you so much. A big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. I said leave on time.